Welcome to the worship service of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Yorktown. The following program was recorded Sunday morning, October 21st.
Good morning. Welcome to worship this morning. Please take note of all the announcements that are in the bulletin this morning. Do have a number of things going on. One thing I do want to highlight and mention a few things about is the fall feast that is coming up next weekend. That's next Sunday. Food is provided, but we ask that you do sign up. I think there's a sign-up sheet here in the narthex, and then there's also one at the educational building. And put how many members in the family are there. That way we know how much food that we need to order. The only food that's not provided is desserts. So if you would like desserts, we ask that some people go ahead and bring some. And if you want to bring something extra as well, then too, we do have a cakewalk. And so that would be used in the cakewalk as well. And there are other activities going on that day. And so we do need extra volunteers. If you would like to volunteer and help with some of the other activities that are going on, please let somebody on that committee know, and that is Susan Whelan, Linda Herta, Pam Hafling, Llewellyn Smiley, John Dale Hurst, or Kathy Moritz. And there is the silent auction for the quilt made by Gail Riedesel is going strong. Bids are still available in the church on Sunday mornings and the fellowship hall at other times to continue the bidding. Please look at the bulletin insert to find out more about this fabulous quilt. The proceeds will go to the women of the church to support the disaster relief project. The winner will be announced at noon at the fall festival next weekend. And one other announcement. Bells and chimes practice this week is canceled. So no bells or chimes practice. Okay, are there other announcements? Anything else this morning? Any other announcements? If not, then I invite you to rise as we begin with the brief order for confession and forgiveness. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for us, and for his sake, forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare unto you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Our opening hymn is number 776 out of With One Voice.
Thank you.
grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. This holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Peace of victory for our God. Alleluia.
Earth is Christ, the Lamb who was slain, whose blood set us free to be people of God. Power and riches and
together the prayer of the day. Almighty and everlasting God, in Christ you have revealed your glory among the nations. Preserve the works of your mercy, that your church throughout the world may persevere with steadfast faith in the confession of your name, through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. You may be seated.
The first lesson is taken from the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. This reading is from the last of the four passages in Isaiah. They are called the Servant Songs. Christians are probably most familiar with this Servant Song. In light of Christian faith, the servant's healing ministry and redemptive suffering are understood to be fulfilled in the life and death of Christ. I begin with verse 4. Surely he has borne our infirmities and carried our diseases, yet we accounted him stricken, struck down by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the punishment that made us whole, and by his bruises we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have all turned our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb is led to slaughter, and like a sheep that before it is sheared is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By a perversion of justice he was taken away. Who could have imagined his future? For he was cut off from the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people. They made his grave with the wicked and his tomb with the rich, although he had done no violence and there was no deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him with pain. And when you make his life an offering for sin, he shall see his offering and shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper. Out of his anguish he shall see light. He shall find satisfaction through his knowledge. The righteous one, my servant, shall make many righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will allot him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out himself to death, and he was numbered with transgressors, yet he bore the sin of many and made the intercession for the transgressors. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be
to God. We'll read Psalm 91 responsively, beginning with verse 9. Because you have made the Lord your refuge and the Most High your habitation. For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways.
They shall bear you in their hands, lest you dash your foot against the sun.
You shall tread upon the lion and the adder, and you shall trample the young lion and the serpent under your feet. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I am with him in trouble. I will rescue him and bring him to honor.
With all my life, I satisfy him, and show him my salvation.
The second lesson is taken from the fifth chapter of Hebrews, beginning with the first verse. Using imagery from Scripture and from the Jewish worship practices, Jesus is presented as the great high priest who was obedient to God's saving plan. Throughout his suffering and death, he has become his source of eternal salvation. Every high priest chosen from among mortals is put in charge of the things pertaining to God on their behalf to offer gifts and sacrifices for sin. He is able to deal gently with the ignorant wayward since he himself is subject to weakness. And because of this, must offer sacrifice for his own sins as well as those of the people. And one does not presume to take this honor, but takes it only when called by God, just as Aaron was. So also Christ did not glorify himself in becoming a high priest, but was appointed by the one who said to him, "You are my son, today I have forgotten you." As he says also in another place, "You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to the one who was able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverent submission. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered, and having been made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obeyed him. Having been designated by God a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek, the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 10th chapter. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came forward to him and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." And he said to them, "What is it you want me to do for you?" And they said to him, "Grant us to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left in your glory." But Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" They replied, "We are able." Then Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink, you will drink, and the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or at my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared." When the 10 heard this, they began to be angry with James and John. So Jesus called them and said to them, "You know that among the Gentiles, those whom they recognize as their rulers lord it over them, and they are great ones or tyrants over them. But it is not so among you. But whoever wishes to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you must be slave of all. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. An employee invited his boss over to have supper with his family. And the boss arrived and they sat down at the table. And all during the meal, the boss dominated the conversation with his stories of how well he had built his business and of the achievements he made and how the deals that he had made and the money that he had made. And all during this meal, though, the little boy in the family kept staring at the boss. Finally, towards the end of the meal, the boss looked at the little boy and says, "Why do you keep looking at me like that?" And the little boy says, "My dad said that you're a self-made man." And the boss beamed and puffed up a bit. And yes, he said, "Yes, I am. I earned everything that I've got. I'm a self-made man." And the little boy then asked, "Well, why'd you make yourself like that?" We like to be the center of attention. We like to be number one. We like to be on top. We like to achieve our goals. We like everyone to recognize us. We like to take the credit. We like being in power. We like being in control. We like telling other people what to do. We don't want to hear other people tell us what to do. We like to be the advisors, the ones the people come to for information. We want to be the most popular. We want to have a say in it all. In our gospel lesson this morning, that's where James and John are. Earlier, the disciples had been arguing amongst themselves, who is the greatest? And James and John saw this opportunity to approach Jesus. Perhaps Jesus was off by himself. And James and John finally had that opportunity to come and approach Jesus. And they asked him, "Jesus, give us what we ask from you." And Jesus, playing along, says, "What is it you ask?" And James and John say, "Let us sit in the places of power when you come into your glory." They wanted to be the top advisors. They wanted to be the generals once Jesus came into his glory. They didn't know what they were asking for. We do want to be on top. We want to be number one. We want to be in control. We want to have the power. And again, that all stems from original sin. That story of Adam and Eve when they ate the forbidden fruit, the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the tree that God told them not to eat from, because they thought that if they would eat it, they would become like God, or they would actually become gods. They wanted to be number one. They wanted to be in control. And because of that, that sin is passed down to us. It is within us. And so we are always seeking that glory. We're always seeking to be number one. We always have that temptation with us. Jesus also went through that temptation a couple of times, actually, just a few chapters here before it in Mark's gospel, when during that first prediction of Jesus going to Jerusalem, suffering many things and being killed on the cross and rising again. The first one of those predictions, when Peter understood what Jesus was saying and said, "No, Lord, we're not going to let that happen to you." That was a temptation. That was a temptation for Jesus. He could get out of it. He wouldn't have to go through all those suffering things. He wouldn't have to do that. The other time that he was tempted was actually earlier than that. It was when he was coming out of the waters of baptism and he went into the wilderness 40 days and 40 nights and he was tempted by Satan. That third temptation was that temptation for power, because Satan took him up to the highest pinnacle and he says, look at all the kingdoms of the world. I will gladly give them to you. All of these will be yours. I won't fight you for them anymore. They will be yours if you just simply bow down and worship me. It would have been easy for Jesus. He wouldn't have to go through all that suffering and the death on the cross. He wouldn't have the scribes and the Pharisees on his back from time to time. His disciples would understand who he is. He would be in charge. He would be in control. He would have people following him everywhere as he went. He could go into any kingdom that he wanted to and be received as royalty. The temptation was there, but instead Jesus says, "Get behind me, Satan." Jesus had a completely different way of looking at the world. Not as being first, but rather as being the servant. And it started as he first came into this world. And you remember that Christmas story where Jesus was born as a little bitty helpless baby, placed in a manger, didn't even have a bed. He was born to two parents who were part of the nameless crowd. He came into this world in humility. He came into this world to serve. God, the creature, God, the Almighty, the Creator, became the creature to live among us and with us and to serve us. And that's what his life was. He led a life of service through his compassion to people, service through his healing of people, service of just meeting with people, service of sharing his knowledge and his wisdom. He served all people he came into contact with, and he serves us. He served all of humanity by going to the cross and the resurrection. He brought us new life. Jesus asked James and John, "Are you able to drink the cup that I will drink? Are you able to be baptized with the baptism with which I will be baptized?" And they answered, "Yes." In God's service to us, in Christ's service to us, he gives us many blessings. He gives us that cup of blessing. This morning we will have Holy Communion and we will share in that cup of blessing, that blessing that assures us of the forgiveness of sins. We have been baptized. We have been washed clean. We have been made pure in the baptism of Christ. But the cup and the baptism have double meanings to them. The cup that he shares with us is the cup of his blood, the cup of his sacrifice, that he gave his blood for us so that we may live. He died so that we might have life. The baptism with which we are baptized. Martin Luther explains it this way in his small catechism, that we are drowned in daily repentance. We're actually killed each and every day. The old self is killed and a new self arises in new life in that baptism. Jesus was also talking to James and John about the cup and the baptism. They did not understand because Jesus was talking about his death. He was talking about his death and his resurrection. And I believe that James and John also drank that same cup. They too were martyred for their faith. They too finally understood that being a follower of Jesus is not being the ones on top, not the ones in the power, in the glory, but rather as servants, as being faithful servants to our Lord Jesus Christ. My parents, when I was growing up, had a picture on the kitchen wall. It was right above our kitchen table where we ate most of our meals. And you've probably seen this picture before. I don't know the name of the picture or the artist. But it's of an older man. He has a big white beard. And he's sitting down at a table. And on that table is a loaf of bread and a pair of glasses. And he has his hands folded in prayer. The story behind that painting was that the artist was in his studio working when he heard a knock on the door. He opened up the door and here was this man, this older man. He looked like he had seen better times, and he was asking for food. Employment was hard to find. He was at an older age and people were reluctant to employ him, but he was still willing to work. But yet he had no work and he was hungry, so he was asking for the food. The artist invited him into his home and put him down at his kitchen table, got out a loaf of bread and put it on the table. And instead of just wolfing down that loaf of bread, the older man took off his glasses and laid them on the table. He bowed his head and he folded his hands and he started to pray. As the artist saw this, he was impressed with the hands of this man, because the hands of this man were servants' hands. Hands that were used to doing work, hard work, doing work that other people did not want to do. They were hands that had served other people. And the artist was so impressed with this that he made the painting of this picture. We are called to be servants. We are called to follow Christ in his servanthood. Christ took on the burdens of this world. He took on all of our sins. He took on all of our crimes, all of our shame. And he went to the cross for us. Kind of like mom, who has to cook our meals, wash our clothes. She might have to kick the washer to get it started. Who cleans up, make sure the house is clean, make sure her husband is taken care of, runs a chauffeur service for the kids, does all the chores, and then goes to work. She takes all the burdens upon herself, and sometimes she's just overwhelmed. Christ took on so many burdens that he was overwhelmed, even to the point of death. Those burdens weighed him down. Those were our burdens that he took upon himself, and he died. Our burdens killed Christ, but he was willing to do that because he was a servant willing to serve us. As followers of Jesus Christ, we are also called into that service. We are called to serve other people. We are receivers of the service of Christ so that we can make new receivers of that cup and that baptism. We are servers so that others may hear that word of God, so others may hear that good news, so others may share in the cup of blessing and also share in Christ's baptism. We are servants in Christ. Christ came to serve us all. Let us follow him. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We sing the hymn number 764, 764.
Thank you.
Please rise for the confession of faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ for the sake of the church, the world, and one another. Lord God, make your church rich in faith, generosity, humility, compassion, and witness. Impoverish it with regard to pride, heresy, ingratitude, and mean-spiritedness. Fill it with your Spirit and conform it always to Christ. Lord, in your mercy. Enrich the faith, hope, and joy of your persecuted church, and grant that the radiance of its faithful witness may illuminate the hearts of its foes with your divine mercy. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for the young adults in our congregation and community, that they may not be preoccupied with possessions or prestige, but seek to please you each day in self-forgetful service and love. Lord, in your mercy. We remember before you the poor of the earth, that their suffering might be eased, and for the wealthy and powerful, that they may use their gifts wisely and generously for the benefit of all. Lead the rulers of the nations in the pathway of your commandments, and teach everyone to find true commitment in seeking and doing your will. Lord, in your mercy. Thank you for all who stand between us and the threatening dangers of this world. Keep them faithful, true, and bold. Help them to heal rifts caused by violence and suspicion, and use their gifts to protect justice and freedom. Strengthen them when they falter. Support their loved ones and bring them home safely. Lord, in your mercy. Grant that all who were afflicted by the sorrows and burdens of this earthly life may find health, hope, and refreshment in the mercy of our Savior. And we pray for all who struggle in poverty, homelessness, and unemployment. Give them hope and dignity, and give us caring and generous hearts and strong and capable hands to help them to flourish and to serve and glorify you. We pray this day for Dolly Rupert, for Bill, for Diana Wisey, Kenny Jacob, and David Stern. Lord, in your mercy. Thank you, dear Father, for receiving into your promised rest all who have died in the covenant of their baptism. Keep us safely in that covenant. Help us to encourage one another, to bear each other's burdens, and to guide our neighbor into the nearer presence of Christ Jesus, so that together with all of your redeemed people of every time and place, we may rejoice in your goodness and forever see you face to face. Lord, in your mercy. Hear our prayers, gracious Father, and answer them in accordance with your will. For the sake of your Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated as we continue with the offering. Let us pray. Wise and gracious God, receive the labor of our hands, these gifts of money, bread, and wine, along with the offering of our lives. Nourish us with the life of your Son, that we might be his body in the world, making known your abundant mercy in Jesus Christ.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is indeed right, our duty, and our joy, that we should at all times and places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the host of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, blessed it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and blessed it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass.
Come, for all is ready.
Thank you.
body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with spiritual food, the body and blood of Christ. All who come to you will not hunger. All who believe in you will not thirst. Empowered by this sacrament, send us back into the world to do the work you have given us to do, to share the gospel and be faithful disciples of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. Our closing hymn, number 784. As we go in peace, we share that peace with each other. The peace of the Lord be with you.